Thank the Lord for salvation tonight.
Amen.
We desire your prayers. All right, let's go to Genesis, the 17th chapter. Call somebody. Well, somebody texted Molly and or called her, and they were pretty discouraged. I know this person, pastored this person, so I called him back later, maybe several days later, I don't know just how quick, not too long. I was trying to encourage them, and I don't know, I wasn't getting very far. They wasn't really wanting to accept what I was saying, and I wasn't condemning them, I was trying to uplift them and encourage them. But they just wasn't getting into, somehow I wasn't getting across to them, I guess you could say. And so I got off the phone, and I was heavy-hearted. And the Lord spoke to me, and he gave me a scripture. And that's where this message come from. He began to take that message, that scripture, and begin to build on it. Genesis, the 17th chapter in the first verse, said, when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I'll make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I'll make thee exceeding fruitful, and I'll make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I'll establish my covenant between me and thee, thy seed after thee and their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. All right, Revelations 1 and 8, and a connecting scripture here, said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, I want to build a foundation, as old brother Archie used to say, to lead up to my text tonight. And number one, he said here, he said, I am the Almighty God. And then over here in Revelation, he said, the Lord which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. God is Almighty tonight. He has all power in heaven and earth. He is the Almighty God. And this will all fit in once I get to where I'm going. You'll get what I'm getting at. But tonight, we're not connected with somebody that's a weakling. We're not connected with somebody that has no power, has no authority. We're not connected with somebody that is just off the wall and doing crazy things. We're connected with somebody that's the Almighty, that's created, controls, and takes care of everything around the world tonight. And you and I have a connection with one, the Almighty God, that is there for you and I. And no matter what we need, how bad it is, what the situation out of order it may seem to you and I, God has got everything in control and has the power to take care of anything we need him to take care of. He's the Almighty God. All right, let's go to St. John 5 and 23. St. John 5 and 23. So God is Almighty. And then here in John 5 and 23, he said that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honored not the Son honored not the Father, which has sent him. But he said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and nigh is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of God. All right, we want to go to the 10th chapter of John now, and the 34th verse, 10 and 34 of St. John. We'll have a few scriptures here to start with. It said, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, your gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe not me. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. All right, then we want the 20th chapter of St. John, 20 and 29 of St. John. It said here, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in these books. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. All right, Romans 1, 3. Romans 1 and 3. Concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of wholeness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. And last but not least, 28 and 18 of the good book of Matthew, where Christ said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now then, God is God Almighty, but he has also given power to Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He's a power source. He said all power, not some power, but all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. I have power, folks. I have power to work when he was here. He has power in heaven as he's there. He controls. He works. He's right with the Father. If you don't believe me, believe the very works. Look around at what I did. Look at the healings. Look at the resurrection of the dead. Look at the things that I have done while I was here working here on earth. Look at the healings. Look at the spirits that were cast out. Look at the power that's been demonstrated over and over. Look at the word. Look at the man that said I was blind, but now I'm seeing. Look at all of that. Look it over. I have power. Christ has power tonight, folks. He has power, and he has that power for you and I. All right, let's go to Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke, the 17th chapter. I know this is maybe a little bit different, but like I said, I'm building a foundation here. When I get to my text, you'll understand what I'm doing. So as I tell people, don't jump off the train. Hang with me a little bit longer. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee seven times a day, turn again, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. All right, let's go to Matthew 18 and 7. Matthew 18 and 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. All right, let's go 1 Peter 4 and 12. 1 Peter 4 and 12. He says here, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you as though some strange thing happeneth to you. And then back to St. John, St. John 16 and 33. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now then, we have God Almighty. We as the Son of God, when John D. Rockefeller established Standard Oil, and he began to grow and build and get larger and larger. At a point of the age of about 45, he decided he wanted to start retiring, and he decided to start handing everything down to the control to his son. So ever so often, he would give him millions and millions and millions of dollars, just hand it to him. Here's so much more control, more control, more control. All right, God, as I said, has given power and authority to Christ. You and I are living in a world where there's going to be offenses, trials, and tribulation. We're not going to get saved and everything just go absolutely perfect and you never have a problem in the world. You are going to have trials and tribulation. There's going to be people that's going to offend you maybe, hurt you, wound you, and so forth. But the Lord said, He said here, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer tonight. I've overcome the world. Oh, Lord, help us. We have somebody that wants to help us overcome. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 12, and we'll have my text. 2 Corinthians 12, and about the fourth verse, I believe it is, 2 Corinthians 12 and 4. He said, he that was, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Now, Paul here, writing, saying here that he was caught up, seeing things. And he said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. According to the commentators, this has been a widely discussed, what was that thorn? What do you think it is? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think it is, and part of the commentators back what I think on this, and that is, he was given a messenger of Satan, another minister that was sent to buffet him, that was sent to hurt him, wound him, offend him, do damage to him. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I've had that. That's no easy thing to go through. That is something that will give you some tears, give you some pain, give you some aches. It will do things to you in a hard way. So, he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Have you ever had an offense? Have you ever had a wound? Have you ever had people that was causing you problems? And you went to the Lord and you talked to him and maybe you done it again and again that, Lord, I need this to depart. I need to get victory. I need to go on. It's giving me problems. And he said unto me, my grace. Now, this is what the Lord spoke to me that day. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace. The God Almighty that's transferred down the power by the resurrection to the Son, Jesus Christ. And, all right, let's connect another scripture to John, the first chapter, 17th verse. He says here, he says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And then we want to go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. One of my favorite scripture readings right here, Hebrews 4 and 16. Where he said, well, I want to go back up there here about the 13th verse. Neither is there any creature that not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto him, open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now then, what is grace? It's the unmerited favor of God. But what else is it? It's help. It's divine help, and you and I will not make it to heaven. We won't get victories. We won't have power ourselves without the divine help. The very spirit, the very power of Jesus Christ working with you and I day and night. Listen, this throne is open. My grace is sufficient. It's all complete. It's absolute. There's nothing that he can't do. There's no anything that you need. He's able to give it. Touch, heal, bless, survive, to supply, whatever it might be. He's able to give you anything tonight. My grace, it belongs to him. Listen, the grace of God came by Jesus Christ. It's his. It belongs to him. He has all power in heaven. He's sitting on the right hand of God. He's sitting on the throne of grace. And he's there saying, come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. I want to bless you. I want to help you. I want to touch you. I want to encourage you tonight. He said, let us therefore come boldly. You know why we can come boldly to the throne of grace? Because we're his children. And because he died. He's our high priest. He's sitting there. He's able to know. He's able to understand the feelings, the pain, everything. The Lord touched me or enlightened me one time when I was sending a card to somebody on sympathy, and I used that scripture a lot, the God of all comfort, and he helped me to see that word all. I thought, all. It's total, complete, absolute. There's not any grief. There's not any pain that God or Christ is not able to get down there by your side, so to speak, and say, I'll help you. He is able to do it all. I like to capitalize it now, put A-L-L, complete total, because he is able to comfort. He is able to give all grace. He is able to help you in any way that you need. What is your burdens tonight? What is your pain tonight? What is your suffering tonight? My grace is sufficient for you. What do you need? Some people say, well, I got a pretty heavy burden. So did Paul. This brother had it. That brother had it. Remember old brother Darius Gibson? I don't, because he died just before I got saved. He died in about 68, I think. I got saved in 71. I never knew him. But Brother Lester, I believe it was, told me a story about him. He said there, I believe, that he had a dream or a vision, and in his dream was a mountain. And the Lord told him, said, I want you to go up that mountain. And Brother Darius looks at it and said, Lord, I can't. There's no way to climb it. He said, I want you to go. He said, reach out. So he started reaching out, and when he did, a peg popped out of the side of the mountain. He brought his foot up, another peg popped out. And every time he reached and every time he stepped, there was something there. Listen, there's only a God in heaven that is able to give us exactly what we need to climb over, praise God, to get the victory out, no matter what it is. He's able to bring it about and help us, because my grace is sufficient for thee. Brother Austin Wilson was going to, he was in a battle. And he was going, in my mind, I think this comes from Brother Leslie. I might have heard Brother Austin tell it. But anyway, it was like a holiday. And he was going down a sidewalk. And there's lots of people. And he's going down, he's going to a certain store. And he's thinking about the battle that he's in and the hard spot. But then the Lord helped him begin to look at the things that he had been through in the past. Other battles, other trials, other tribulation. And I see, and he turns and he steps through the door, and the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm going to give you this victory just like I did the others. Praise God. Listen today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's able to give you anything you need tonight. Praise God. I'm preaching to old Carl just as much as I'm preaching to you tonight. Oh, he said, come. Come unto me, all you that labor. I wasn't planning to get on that scripture, but come unto me. Because my grace is sufficient. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Oh, tonight, what do you and I need tonight? We need lots of mercy, don't we? Anybody in here don't need any mercy? I've been preaching quite a bit on mercy lately. We need mercy. The Lord wants us to reach out for it, cry for it, beg for it. When you're sick, when you're well, when you have trials and tribulation, when you have offenses, whatever it might be. Lord, how do you pray? Lord, have mercy on me. How do you pray for other people? Lord, have mercy on them, don't you? You cry out, Lord, have mercy. He's a God of all mercy tonight. God is a Father of mercy. He said that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Lord, help us to get a hold of that grace. There's plenty of it. It's never going to run out. It has a fountain that will never dry up. And my uncle, great uncle, I guess it was, Uncle Gaither Nichols down in Louisiana, when they started building the houses where Clarice lived and Joanne lived and where Joanne still lives and where, Clarice lived, thank you. Where Clarice lived, they also drilled an artesian well. I understood it was about 5,000 feet, but it never ran out. It just went continuously and continuously. They have this house to it, and that house to it, and this house to it, and that house to it, and it just kept going. And lots of water, 5,000 feet. Listen, this is deeper than that. This fountain of grace, this fountain of power is as big as you need it to be. Jesus spoke to me the last time we were in the tabernacle. In other words, the last monarch in the old tabernacle. And we were sitting there in the night service. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, how great is God? And I thought a minute and I thought, he said, I'm just as great as you need me to be. Just as great. Saints, tonight he's as great. How great do you need him? Well, I need him so-so. He's that great. Maybe you just need a little grace. Just a little grace. Not very much, just a little grace. He's got that. But if you need, it's like those tractors that those farmers get. And Brother David Marver, he let me drive some of them big old tractors. Now, he never had the ones that were split in the middle. They weren't quite that big, but they're pretty good size for this old country boy. And get in things and fire them up. And you could take the rippers, you could take the chisels, and you could drop them down, and you could press on that gas, and he had the power to go. It had the power. My daddy told me one time, when I was a boy, and he had an old yellow Ford F-150 with a 3-speed on the column. He had a homemade camper on the back. He had a little Shasta trailer, and he pulled behind that, and we'd go to Colorado, and he'd get up there and start having problems. And it was frustrating. And guess who got to listen to Dad? I guess Mom did too, but I did too, since I was the oldest boy. And he said, one of these days, son, I'm going to get me a pickup. And I'm going to get one big enough that I can go right over them hills, right over them mountains. Oh, praise God, Daddy did it. And all he had to do is push down a little more on the gas, and away he went. I'm going to tell you, saints, there's more than enough grace for everybody. Individually, congregations, the whole world, praise God. He's got all the power, all the grace that you need tonight. How he can do it, don't ask me. I don't understand it, but I do know one thing. He has demonstrated to me down through the years, and I believe it. I've seen him do it, like last night. He didn't have to touch me. I tried everything I knew to do, and a sciatica is a little bit different than my other leg problem. But between the two of them, they can really give me fits sometimes. Up and down and up and down and up and down for hours. Try the recliner, try the bed, go to a tub and climb in it. Sit there and soak them for 20, 30 minutes, well, 15, 20 minutes in good hot water. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Try the next step and the next step. But last night, I felt impressed to pray. He's a 3 a.m. God for Carl Schaefer. And he's a 3 a.m. God for you too. He said, my grace is sufficient. Do you believe that tonight? Do you really believe that his grace is sufficient to help you tonight? Oh, thank the Lord for the grace of God. Now, Paul said, well, Jesus just spoke to him. To me, he's speaking to us directly, and he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, child. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now then, what Christ wants people to see is the power of God. And to do that, he's got to use you and I. And the weaker we are, and the more grace that flows, that helps you and I to do exactly what we need to do, is showing the grace and the power of God. It's showing people. When I had my other sciatica, I hurt with that thing for about 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, really hurt. It put me totally down. This one's not ever put me down. It just gave me a lot of pain at times. And so we were at a house cleaning, and wife was there, and the children were there, and the lady was there, and she goes, "What kind of medication is he taking?" She goes, "Nothing." "He not taking any pain pills?" "No." She goes, "I could never do that." The grace of God, the healing power, the touches. I'm going to tell you, if you want blessings in God, do like Paul did right here. Reach out to God. Get a hold of God. Say, "Lord, I need you. I want you. I want you to help me. Therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities?" Listen, folks, tonight, that wouldn't be easy if it wasn't for the grace of God, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, "Therefore, I take pleasure." We taking pleasure tonight in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. I'm going to tell you, there's only one person that can do that, and that's God and you. Oh, tonight, the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the great I Am, is saying, "I want to help you. I want to bless you. I want to give you grace tonight. My grace is sufficient. Total, complete, without any lack, without any problem at all, it's sufficient for thee." One of the hardest things, and I've never lived this, but I've dealt with it. One of the hardest things is to live with unsaved people in the house. Well, I have lived it in some, because my daughters, they rebel when they were got old enough. They rebel, and that wasn't easy on us. But the Lord has got grace to help people, even in those dire situations. Unsaved companions, unsaved fathers and mothers, brothers, sisters, whatever, that you have to deal with, the Lord's got grace to help you and I. All right, let's move on a little bit. Let's go to Acts, the 26th chapter. Acts 26, and we'll start reading about the 12th verse, I guess. He said, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' He said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise, stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which I have seen, and of all those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles in whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus, at Jerusalem, throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me." That wouldn't be no fun. "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be first, should be the first that should rise from the dead and should shew light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Now he said there that for this cause the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. But he said, having therefore obtained help of God, grace, they were after him. If you look through, and we're going to touch this, Paul went through, if not the, some of the very hardest things that a man could ever go through, he went through them. I don't know really anybody that's gone through some of the things that he's gone through. I've never met him anyway. But he said, having therefore obtained help, I continue. You know why you're here tonight? Because of the help of God. The grace of God. You wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for the grace of God. Amen. We're here because of the grace of God. His grace is sufficient. His grace is right there. There was a man in a hospital one time that would die. They had called in the priest and said, this priest come in a black robe. Said he walked through the door and the doors at the end of the bed. He walked up beside the bed and he administered the last rites for this man that was dying. Said he went out and said in a little bit, another person walked in. Said he walked in shining white. He walked right through the wall. He walked up the side of the bed and he bent over this man and he said, you have no trouble at all. All you need is faith in God. And he turned right around. He walked right back out, right back through the wall. And he left. He said, I never saw him again. But he started to gain right there. God gave him a touch. He repented. He started reaching out to God. He done everything he do. God saved him, sanctified him. He got baptized, and the Lord called him to preach. Listen, folks, he was at death's door. How many times has that happened down through the year? Sister Karen, I guess she's going to Oklahoma City now, but it used to be Karen Salee. I'm going to tell you, she's here because of the grace of God. She was right down at death's door, and Sister Maxine told me just before she died, she didn't. The Lord turned it. Listen, he's still turning things. You will not die till the Lord's ready to take you. There ain't nobody got enough bullets, enough hatchets, enough swords to kill you till the Lord's ready for you to die. There's nobody going to keep you here, and there's nobody going to take you here. But the very power of God is through and ready to take you home. Praise God. My grace is sufficient. His grace. And the Jews were upset at him. They were ready to kill him. But it said, I obtained help from God. Help of God. Listen tonight, you're here because of the grace of God. You're here because of his help over and over and over. Paul said in one place, I believe, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. You and I, when we get down to the end, that's all we're going to be able to say, I am what I am. We're not going to have any bragging rights. Brother O.B. Wilson, I believe it was, they was talking to him. He said, well, I am what I am by the grace of God and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen tonight, you and I are going to have that blood and that grace for us to make heaven our home. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 11:22. 2 Corinthians 11:22. Real close to where we was at a while ago. Again, Paul talking here. Are the Hebrews? So am I. Are the Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more often, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, saved one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils in waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. He had problems all around him. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. Lord, help us. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Arthenius, the king, kept the city of Damascenes with a garrison desires to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Again, the grace of God. I asked Molly if she knew what, I believe it's called caning. Any of you know anything about caning? I understand in a foreign country, this doesn't of course happen here, but I've heard of it being done at least one time. And if I understand it, it's a type of, like bamboo, if I've got it right. Anyway, they take it and they cut it, and where it's like a fan or a broom, and they take that and they take some clothes off of you, and they whip you and whip you and whip you and whip you till there ain't much left of you. They say the damage it does to your back and your backside is horrible. They said you suffer for months and months and months. Well, Paul said here, and this would be a little bit different. He said, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Any of y'all have that? I ain't ever been beaten like that. I was beaten with rods, once a stone, thrice a suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I've been in the deep. How long did Paul live? How long did that grace work for him? Isn't he over there in Timothy? What did he get that, Brother Philip? He said, I've kept the faith. Like the song is sung. I like that song, brother. Thank you. I kept the faith. Oh, tonight he kept the faith because of the grace of God. That grace of God working. Do you imagine when he was in the deep thinking, am I going to make it? The devil presenting all kind of things. Maybe they're beating him and beating him and beating him thinking, am I going to live? He lived, didn't he? He lived to be a blessing for you and I. Listen tonight, our lives are being kept and used to be a blessing to other people. If not just us, it is our testimony, but the very life of the grace of God flowing through you and I that help people to see that there's a Jesus Christ in heaven that's able to do what man can't do. Praise God. If I remember right, it was Wes Elwell that had a massive heart attack in Phoenix several years ago. I believe that's who it was. Brother Steve told about it. Anyway, one of his brothers, let's put it that way, he had a heart attack. And Brother Steve and some of them called out for prayer, begging the saints for prayer in the same hospital. The top heart surgeon, cardiologist in that hospital had a massive heart attack too. And he had the best doctors in that hospital working on him. And he died. They couldn't save him. And the man that they called for prayer, he turned and the Lord blessed him and brought him up and out. Now I don't know what all the ramifications was, but Jesus works with his people, but he also uses grace, healing and power on sinners to bring them to a place of repentance where they can see the goodness of God that bringeth people to repentance. Oh, tonight, that grace is working in so many ways around the world. And it's working for everybody. It's working to have mercy on people. Oh, Paul. He said, I was in night in the deep. I was in labors and stripes. He said, I was beaten with rods, journeyings often, in perils in about every way you can think, in waters and robbers and so forth. In other words, it looked to me like if you read this in some ways, you think every time he turned around, he's running into trouble. That'd be pretty bad. But the Lord used him, and the Lord helped him, and the Lord blessed him over and over and over and over. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, know that I lie not. He said, who is weak, and am I not weak? And who is offended, am I burned not? Oh, tonight. All right, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter here. And about the 8th verse here. Again, Paul writing, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of a trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of our life. And again, this is a pretty pretty hard writing, if you want to say it that way. In other words, this is not, it's victory, but it's telling it down right where the rubber meets the road. But we have the sins of death in ourselves, and we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivereth us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by praying for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many of our on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the, what? What does it say here? But by the grace of God. We have had our conversation conduct in the world and more abundantly to youward. For we write none other things unto you that what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust you shall acknowledge even to the end. And also you acknowledged us in part that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit. Now it said here that, just almost totally wiped out. But he wasn't, was he? He said we had this sentence. Said, I don't want you ignorant of what come on us, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Have you ever been there? Even close to that, but said, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Who delivered us? Who helped us from so great a death? In other words, I was right there, but there was one with power named Jesus Christ and grace that delivered us, that brought us up, that done what needed to be done and doth deliver. Listen, folks, today, doctors can do things. Lawyers can do things. Congressmen and senators and the president can do things. But Jesus Christ can do all things. There's nothing that he has to scratch his head and try to figure out how to do it. He just does it because he's got power to do it. If you need it, he's got it. He will help you. Oh, he can help you over and over and over. Paul said, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. That's the way we build a foundation of faith, of trust in God, that what he's done for us down through the years, we can look at that, we can study that, and we can say, well, just like Brother Austin, the Lord took him and showed him, I'm going to do this just like I've done all the others. Praise God. Brother Austin's had that foundation, that experience that was used by God to say, I'm going to do it again, child. He'll do it again and again and again, as the song says. But he said, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we had our conversion in the world and more abundantly to you were. Oh, today, thank the Lord for the grace of God that is able to help us. Let's go to Psalms 94. Psalms 94 and read here. Well, this is a lot of scriptures. I don't know if I'll read all of this or not, but it's pretty valuable. Well, I might, because I'm getting down toward the end. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, you brutish among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formeth the eye, shall he not see? In other words, God's not got his ears closed and his eyes shut. He that chasteneth the heathen, Shall he not correct? He that teaches man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance, for he is God. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is my rock of my refuge, and he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord, our God, shall cut them off. Now, except the Lord had been my help, the devil, he wants to silence everybody. And if it hadn't been the Lord, he said here, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. But God was his help. And he wasn't going to be quiet. His soul was blessed by the very nearness, the very power, the very workings of the Spirit of God. Oh, tonight, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In 121 is what I want here. Let me see. I lift up mine eyes in the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Now listen to what he's saying here, saints. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Now, there's not a doctor or lawyer or anybody out there that don't have to have some kind of sleep sometime. But he that keepeth thee, the one that has all grace, he's not going to slumber. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He's not going to slumber, he ain't going to sleep. In other words, he's going to be on duty 24 hours a day. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. In other words, he's going to keep thee, and when you need shade, when you need help, protection and so forth, he's there. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I thought I was done. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. I'm awake. I'm their children. My grace is sufficient. How many of you have ever had to have the Lord at night? Now, I call him the 3 a.m. God because I'm up and down sometimes nearly all hours of the night. I see just about every hour there is at times. Molly thinks about all the time. But I'm up and down a lot. But I've had his blessings at 1, 2, 3, midnight, 4, whatever it might be. Like last night, I don't remember exactly what time it was. But the Lord was there when I needed him. And he gave me a touch. He can help you when the devil's assailing after you at night. When he's doing everything he can. He said, my foot slippeth, but thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. He held me, whether it's during the day or during the evening or during the night. He's right there to hold you, thank the Lord. Oh, tonight, my grace is sufficient, children. My grace is sufficient, the Lord says. I've got abundance of grace. All right, 2 Timothy 3:1 said, this though also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, you know what this word perilous is translated into also? Who can tell me? mean dangerous. You read translations on this, if I'm not mistaken, it's right here in this book right here. It means dangerous. Would you say that we live in a dangerous time today? Well, I mean, there's people go down a road and shoot people in their cars. They go down the street and shoot people out in the yard. They take them and put them back in a deal in a bank and lay them down and just execute them one right after the other. Then that boy killed his parents and three others down in Louisiana. This is dangerous times. Somebody says, well, we ought to just stay at home and never go out. Well, if it's time for you to die, you'll die right there in your house. You know. But he said, my grace is said that in the last days, difficult times will come. That in the last days, there are troublesome times impending. The final ages of this world is to be a time of troubles. The times will be dangerous. There it is right there. The times will be dangerous. Dangerous times. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truth speakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, crazy, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Oh, today we live in perilous, dangerous times. But he said, my grace is sufficient. I'm going to help you. I want to bless you. I want to take care of you. And he will. You are what you are by the grace of God tonight. Let's go to Psalms 84. Psalms 84, and we'll finish up there. Psalms 84. 84 and 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is a man that trusteth in thee. Do we believe that tonight? He's a sun, but he's a shield. And will give grace and glory. How many of you has ever had glory? What is glory tonight? Who can tell me what glory is? It's a very, very close presence of God. Him coming down, blessing thee in whatever situation. There had been people that were burning on the cross, burning at the stake. And they would raise their hand, or they would sing a song, or they would shout right in the flames of death. Will give grace and glory, said no good thing. Will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh, tonight, my grace is sufficient. Now then, do we believe that? How many of us believe that tonight? That it's sufficient for every one of us in here. How much do we need tonight? He asked me, how great is God? He's great enough and got enough grace to take care of every one of us with no problem at all. How he can do it, I don't know. I thought on that some, it about blows my mind, so to speak. But I do know this, in over 40 years of living for him, I have found the grace of God to be sufficient. To be a help, to be a power, to be a working. That when I didn't think I could do it, I did it. Wasn't me, it was him. When the pain was more than I thought I could handle, he helped me with it. Whether it be in grief, whether it be in body, whether it be of just the heart, no matter what it was, he was there. My grace is sufficient for thee. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers tonight. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. Appreciate your love to us here in